Hi, this is Pastor Rick Warren. On behalf of my family and all of our staff here at Daily Hope, we wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, if there's anything that living through this pandemic has taught us, it's that we need God and His Word, the Bible, more than ever. And because of this, Pastor Rick has decided to bring us the third installment of his powerful series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. Stay with us as we continue with our series. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's wonderful book, The Purpose of Christmas, just in time for the season. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Doesn't Hold On to Hurt.
Now, the fact is, because we live on a planet where everything is broken by sin, and we're all sinners, we're all imperfect people, you're going to be hurt a lot in life. In fact, you've undoubtedly already been hurt many, many times in life. But the real question is, what do you do with that hurt? Do you hold on to it in your heart? Do you let it fester and grow and multiply? Or have you learned the wisdom and the skill of letting it go? Now, I'm teaching on this today because I received a letter this week that I'd like to begin with by reading to you. It says this: Dear Pastor Rick, I can honestly say that listening to the Daily Hope broadcast every day and watching the weekly Saddleback service each weekend has saved both my life and my sanity during COVID-19. I don't know how I would have made it otherwise. I'm a new follower of Jesus. I put my trust in Him when you started the James series online. So I'm one of those 10,000 new believers. Your very first message was about trusting God while walking through the valley of virus. Now, I had been to a few churches off and on in my life, but I never really understood what it was about, and I didn't know it was possible to have a friendship with God. Then when COVID hit, I had this desire to get some spiritual input. Just about the time, all the churches were asked to stop meeting because of the virus. But a member of Saddleback is a friend, and he told me to check out your online service. I haven't missed a week in 25 weeks, and I've listened to several of the messages multiple times. But as a new Christian, I have a question about forgiving people who've hurt you. I know we're supposed to forgive people who hurt us, but I'm not sure why I'm supposed to do this, or even how I'm supposed to do this. It seems like our world is getting more and more divided and polarized and angry and bitter. And on social media, as well as TV news, it just seems like a lot of people just enjoy calling each other names, arguing and yelling hateful things, and nobody really listens to anybody. Now, since Jesus saved me about 5 months ago, my attitude has really changed. I'm a lot less angry, and I'm much more at peace. But what confuses me is that a lot of people who say they are Christians really get mean, and they get cranky when they talk about the things like having to wear a mask during COVID, or the issue of racial equality and justice, and especially the upcoming election. Honestly, I've been shocked at how resentful and mean some people are who say they're dedicated Christians. As a minority, I've been deeply hurt several times by insensitive statements from people who really have no idea what it feels like to be a minority and the fears that we have to deal with every day. And when they defensively deny that inequality still exists, or they blame all the nonviolent grieving protesters for the action of rioting criminals, it just shows a lack of understanding, too. I also have a couple of personal wounds with family members that I won't go into the details, but I'll just say this, that I'm hoping that you can teach us soon about what God says about forgiving people who hurt us. Again, thank you for all your teaching. Saddleback is now my church home, and I'm very happy to be a part. Well, today is your lucky day. Let me first congratulate you on your new relationship to Jesus Christ, and welcome to our family. We're glad you're here. We love you, and we're here to help you. And today is your lucky day, as I said, because we're going to look at a faith that doesn't hold on to hurt. Now, you're right that today we're living in a culture that's filled with anger and slander and arguing and bitterness and bias. And most of us will probably agree that the divisiveness and the polarization in our world right now is probably the worst we've ever seen in our lifetime. But you know, it's not new. It's not new at all. Human beings have always been self-centered. This week, I was reading through the book of Romans from the Bible. And the book of Romans was written during the Roman Empire a couple thousand years ago. And as I read St. Paul's description of Roman culture, you know what? It just struck me. It sounds an awful like the kind of culture we're living in today. The first century and the 21st century really have a lot in common in that sense. Let me read to you what Paul said about his culture 2,000 years ago, Romans 3, 12 to 17. He said this, "Everyone has turned from God and is going in the wrong direction. Nobody is living right. People tell lies about each other that stink like an open grave. They verbally attack each other with poisonous words, like the venom of a deadly snake. Their speech is filled with vicious curses and bitter resentment. And they're quick to react violently with anyone who disagrees." Does this sound familiar? He says, so wherever they go, they leave division and misery because they've never learned how to live in peace. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? But just about the same time that Paul was writing those words about Roman culture, this guy that we've been studying, James, was writing to Christians who were spread out all through the Roman Empire and were experiencing great persecution. And while Paul is talking about the Roman Empire and a lot of non-believers, one of the things that James is concerned about is he didn't want Christians to be infected by that negative culture that Paul just described. He didn't want them picking up. He didn't want the believers picking up on bad habits and the attitudes of the world. He wanted Christians to be different in their attitude, so different that everybody noticed it. So with great boldness and great clarity, James points out the hypocrisy in Christians of that day. And he says this, "You know, you guys, you're acting no different than the non-believers in the world." But he says, you know, that's one thing, but what makes it even worse is you know better. You know better. And you don't have to live that way, and you're living a double life. And he says, you know, it's hypocritical to be all sweet and loving and nice at a worship service, and then to be mean and nasty and demeaning to the people that you disagree with in the world. This is the passage we're going to look at today. Here's what James says to believers. James 3, verses 9 and 10. Here's what he says. He says, "In worship, we praise our Lord and Father. But then in the world," he says, "we curse the people that God himself created in his own image. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and bitterness." If you're taking notes, I'd circle blessing and bitterness. He says, "Brothers and sisters, this is not right. There is no way that sweet water and bitter water can flow out of the same spring." Now, as I said, if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to circle blessing and bitterness, because James says this is a contradiction. For both of these things to be coming out in your speech if you claim to be a follower of Jesus. He says, just as a spring cannot give fresh water and salt water from the same source. He said, if words of blessing are coming out at church, but words of bitterness are coming out at home or at work or with people you disagree with politically, he says, you know what? You got a problem with your heart. He says, evidently, you're holding on to some hidden hurt that's made you bitter. And you have stored up that hurt inside of you, and it's creating this bitterness. Now, what I want to do in our session together today is simply ask two questions about this text in the Bible. First, why should I never hold on to a hurt? Never hold on to it. We'll look at the cost of bitterness, because there's a price tag for everything, and we're going to look at seven very expensive costs to holding on to a hurt. Then we'll ask the question, how do I let go of it? How do I let go of hurt in my life? You know from experience, that's not always easy. It's not easy offering forgiveness to people who've hurt you. You may have been hurt very deeply by people in your life, and you probably don't feel like forgiving them and letting it go. So first, you need some motivation to let go of that hurt. Let me give you seven reasons from the Bible why you really should never hold on to any hurt in your heart.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Christmas is right around the corner. Where has the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of this inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. There are only 3 days left to get yours, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Why should I never hold on to a hurt? These are the costs of bitterness. You might write these down. Number one, anytime I harbor a hurt, I walk out of God's will. Anytime I harbor a hurt, I walk out of God's will. I'm out of the will of God. Why? Because bitterness is a sin, so it's definitely never God's will for your life. And when I harbor a hurt in my heart, I am choosing to disobey God because he says, don't be bitter, don't be resentful, don't hold on to hurt. I'm choosing to be out of the will of God. I'm choosing to forfeit the blessing of God. That's what you do. And I'm choosing not to be used by God. James tells us this in James chapter 1, verse 20. He says, if you're angry, you cannot do any of the good things that God wants done. Did you hear that? This is such a powerful verse. If you're angry, you cannot do any of the things God wants done. Such a powerful verse. I want to read it to you in several other translations. In the ICB translation, here it says, anger will not help you live the good life that God wants. In the God's Word translation, it says, an angry person doesn't do what God approves. In today's English version, there on your outline, it says, human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. How many people think that they're going to change the world by getting angry at something? Job tells us that resentment reveals a disobedient heart instead of a righteous heart. Job chapter 36, 13, it says this, those who have wicked hearts hold on to anger. They hold on to anger. That's called bitterness. When you hold on to anger, that's resentment. So he says, first, you got to let it go, okay? Because you walk out of the will of God every time you become resentful. Number two, anytime I retain resentment, I halt my happiness. I halt my happiness. You say, what do you mean by that? My happiness is stopped dead in its tracks. The moment that I choose to get upset with somebody, the moment I choose to get resentful or bear a grudge or, you know, have some kind of thing against you, is the moment that I choose unhappiness. Now, the fact is, happiness is a choice. You're as happy as you choose to be. If you're not happy right now, you're choosing not to be happy. You're as happy as you choose to be, just like you're as close to God as you choose to be. And if you choose to focus on something that is unhappy, like being hurt, you have nobody to blame but yourself, because every moment of resentment is a moment of unhappiness. That's dumb. Job 21, verse 23 to 25 says this, some men stay happy until the day they die, but others have no happiness at all because they live and die with bitter hearts. You cannot be bitter and happy at the same time. Number three, anytime I breathe bitterness, I suffocate my spirit. Anytime I breathe bitterness, I suffocate my spirit. Bitterness doesn't just choke out your happiness. It doesn't just choke out your emotions. It strangles your spirit. It suffocates your spirit. You know, during COVID, people who get the pandemic disease often say, I can't breathe. And we heard that phrase in racial context too. I can't breathe. But when you have bitterness in your heart, you can't breathe spiritually. It's like you're choosing to carry around a load of garbage. It's an unnecessary load. It's a heavy weight. For some reason, you choose to do it. But bitterness weighs you down. It depresses your spirit. Look at this verse. Proverbs 27, verse 3. A stone is heavy, and sand is weighty. But resentment caused by a fool is heavier than both. You know, sometimes we think that we're actually hurting the person who hurt us by holding on to the hurt and holding a grudge. That somehow me being mad long after the event happened, that's somehow making you miserable. But bitterness is a worthless weapon. It doesn't hurt them. It only makes you miserable. They may not even be aware that you're thinking about them all the time. You're obsessing with them. They're all out there eating a steak dinner, having a good time and partying. They're not even thinking about you. You're the one that's obsessed with the hurt. They've already moved on with their life. It's a worthless weapon. All right? It's like drinking poison and hoping you kill them with it. Now, some of you were hurt by people a long time ago. And as your pastor, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that they hurt you, but I will tell you some good news. They can't hurt you anymore, okay? The only way they can continue to hurt you is if you choose to hold on to the hurt and rehearse it over and over in your mind. And when you choose to hold on to that hurt and keep going over and over, that's dumb. They can't hurt you anymore. That's why Job 18, verse 4, there on your outline says this, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. So, when I harbor hurt, I walk out of God's will. God stops blessing my life. When I retain resentment, I halt my happiness. Okay? I just stop being happy. Can't be happy and bitter at the same. When I breathe bitterness, I suffocate my spirit. Now, the fourth cost of holding on to hurt is this. Anytime I internalize my anger, I harm my health. It's bad for your body. Many, many, many studies have shown that resentment is the most physically damaging emotion you can have. Just as gratitude is the healthiest emotion you can have, resentment is the most damaging emotion on your body. It's bad for your body. It is a source of all kinds of physical ailments. It can even shorten your life. Now, doctors discovered this in the last 100 years, but thousands of years ago in Job 5:2 says this: to worry yourself to death with resentment, to worry yourself to death with resentment is a foolish, senseless thing to do. Now, sometimes we're so careful about what we eat, and we're trying to protect our health, so we're eating healthy. But let me tell you a bigger issue. The bigger issue in your life for your health is not what are you eating, but what's eating you. Not what are you eating, but what's eating you. Bitterness is a cancer that will eat you up. We've all known people who were eaten up by it. They shriveled because of the bitterness in their life. Solomon noticed this several thousand years ago. And in Ecclesiastes 5:17, he talks about people who are so upset by their emotions. And he says this: all they get are days full of sadness and sorrow. And they end up sick, defeated, and angry. You know anybody like that? Doctors say they could empty the hospital by 50%. If they could help people get rid of guilt and resentment, because that has put a lot of people in the hospital.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, so many of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like to let you know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs, and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Have you noticed that people are more open to talking about Jesus at Christmas than at any other time of the year? Regardless of their religious background or their problems or their circumstances, everybody needs to know that Jesus loves them, that Christmas means that God has a plan for their life, and that God is with us. So this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to share the story of Christmas with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Now, one of the ways you can do this is through a little book I wrote called The Purpose of Christmas. It explains the true meaning of Christmas and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And when you give somebody a copy of The Purpose of Christmas, it's going to start a conversation with them about Jesus and about the purpose of his love and the purpose for their lives. You can invite them to a Christmas Eve service at your church. This month, I'd like to send you a copy of this book, The Purpose of Christmas. You can read it. You can pass it on to a friend who needs to know the true meaning. Just partner with us at Daily Hope and let us partner with you in reaching your friends and family for Christ. By the way, write to me, rick@pastorrick.com, and let me know who you're praying for, who you want to come to Christ this Christmas, who you're inviting to church. I'd love to pray with you about that. God bless you.
Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get your copy, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.